The various bureaus of propaganda and the College of Emotional Engineering were housed in a single 60-story building in Fleet Street. In the basement and on the lower floors were the presses and offices of the three great London newspapers, the Hourly Radio, an uppercast sheet, the Pale Green Gamma Gazette, and on khaki paper, and in words exclusively of one syllable, the Delta Mirror. Then came the bureaus of propaganda by television, by feeling picture, and by synthetic voice and music, respectively. 22 floors of them. Above were the research laboratories and the padded rooms in which the soundtrack writers and synthetic composers did their delicate work. The top 18 floors were occupied by the College of Emotional Engineering. Bernard landed on the roof of Propaganda House and stepped out. "Ring down to Mr. Helmholtz Watson," he ordered the Gamma Plus porter, "and tell him that Mr. Bernard Marx is waiting for him on the roof." He sat down and lit a cigarette. Helmholtz Watson was writing when the message came down. "Tell him I'm coming at once," he said, and hung up the receiver. Then, turning to his secretary, "I'll leave you to put my things away," he went on in the same official and impersonal tone, and, ignoring her lustrous smile, got up and walked briskly to the door. He was a powerfully built man, deep-chested, broad-shouldered, massive, and yet quick in his movements, springy and agile. The round, strong pillar of his neck supported a beautifully shaped head. His hair was dark and curly, his features strongly marked. In a forcibly emphatic way, he was handsome and looked, as his secretary was never tired of repeating, every centimetre an alpha plus. By profession, he was a lecturer at the College of Emotional Engineering, Department of Writing, and in the intervals of his educational activities, a working emotional engineer. He wrote regularly for the Hourly Radio, composed feely scenarios, and had the happiest knack for slogans and hypnopedic rhymes. "Able," was the verdict of his superiors. "Perhaps," and they would shake their heads, would significantly lower their voices, "a little too able." Yes, a little too able, they were right. A mental excess had produced in Helmholtz Watson effects very similar to those which, in Bernard Marx, were the result of a physical defect. Too little bone and brawn had isolated Bernard from his fellow men, and the sense of this apartness, being by all the current standards a mental excess, became in its turn a cause of wider separation. That which had made Helmholtz so uncomfortably aware of being himself and all alone was too much ability. What the two men shared was the knowledge that they were individuals. But whereas the physically defective Bernard had suffered all his life from the consciousness of being separate, it was only quite recently that, grown aware of his mental excess, Helmholtz Watson had also become aware of his difference from the people who surrounded him. This escalator squash champion, this indefatigable lover, it was said that he had had 640 different girls in under 4 years. This admirable committee man and best mixer had realized quite suddenly that sport, women, communal activities were only, so far as he was concerned, second bests. Really, and at the bottom, he was interested in something else. But in what? In what? That was the problem which Bernard had come to discuss with him, or rather, since it was always Helmholtz who did the talking, to listen to his friend discussing yet once more. Three charming girls from the Bureau of Propaganda by Synthetic Voice waylaid him as he stepped out of the lift.
"Oh, Helmholtz, darling, do come and have a picnic supper with us on Exmoor."
They clung round him imploringly. He shook his head. He pushed his way through them. "No, no.
We're not inviting any other man."
But Helmholtz remained unshaken, even by this delightful promise. "No," he repeated, "I'm busy." And he held resolutely on his course. The girls trailed after him. It was not until he had actually climbed into Bernard's plane and slammed the door that they gave up pursuit.
not without reproaches.